Raise your hand if you have completed your Christmas shopping already. Raise your hand. Wow, okay, I see one. Oh, no, there's a couple. Okay. No, I see a few. Maybe, you know, a third, couple of us. You didn't see me raise my hand. I am still struggling to find a few perfect gifts for people in my life. And I've discovered that Amazon has this really handy-dandy search engine if you want to find a gift for a very specific kind of person. For instance, I put in the search engine 13-year-old girl to see gift suggestions, because I don't think like a 13-year-old girl, and I have a hard time thinking, what would I get for a 13-year-old girl? And so I did that, and I typed that into the search engine, and I got 8,528 gift ideas. As you can imagine, some of them were better than others. Now, the first one that I found that grabbed my attention was a pair of light-up gloves. So you see the fingers there? The fingers light up. Wouldn't that just be perfect for the candlelight Christmas Eve service to play Silent Night on the piano or harpsichord? I think that'd be fantastic. The second gift was a book titled A Teen's Guide to World Domination. Advice on Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Awesomeness. I read the Amazon comments, and apparently it's a bunch of really good advice, but without the normal parental awkwardness that you would expect to come along with good advice. The third option was a mermaid tail blanket. Do you see it in the picture there? I see some of you, I see some adults going, yeah, I want that. That looks good. I want to be a mermaid. I want to be Ariel. I see you. No matter how chilly it gets this December, your 13-year-old girl does not need to be as cold as sushi. Coming in at number four is a giant microbe plush toy. This adorable little stuffy is E. coli. Who knew that food poisoning could be so adorable, right? And finally, you could buy this t-shirt for the mathlete in your family that boldly proclaims square root of 169 years old. Anyone have the answer? Where's Abel Gage when I need him? 13, yes, 13-year-old girl we're looking for. So, 13. Now, I don't know if this would be the coolest thing to wear to junior high, but I bet you'd get extra credit from your math teacher if you actually pulled that off in junior high. This is why it's so hard to finish my Christmas shopping. There is a gift for literally everybody out there. It's just hard finding the right gift for the right person, right? Today's Bible story from the Gospel of Luke talks about the perfect gift for a 13-year-old girl named Mary. At first, the gift seems totally inappropriate, right? A baby for a teenager, a virgin, still waiting to be married. But at 13 years of age, Mary had the faith to risk her life, to risk her honor, to risk her marriage, to risk everything for God. It turned out that Jesus, even though he would cost Mary her entire life, that Jesus was the perfect gift for Mary. And it's the perfect gift for you and me too, even though he will demand our entire lives. Hear the good news today from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 35, and then I'm going to skip a little bit to 38. Hear the good news. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled by his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. God's word. I've said it before and I'll say it again. You know more Greek than you realize. For instance, the word charisma. You know what that word means in English, right? Charisma? Charisma means that you have this certain charm, this natural born charm. Whenever George Clooney or Julia Roberts comes on TV, it's really hard to push the button on the remote control because they ooze charisma, right? They just have this innate sense where, oh, I want to watch them. I want to hear what they have to say today. Charisma, natural born gift of charm. The word charisma in Greek actually means undeserved favor, or it means gift of grace. Charisma, gift of grace. The Gospel of Luke wants us to know that Mary is filled with charisma, not because of her great beauty, right? Not because she had particular wit or charm. Luke keeps telling us in today's story that Mary was filled with charisma because she had the undeserved favor. She had the gift of God's grace operating in her life. And we see it all over the scripture I just read for you a moment ago. First, the angel greets Mary with the word kyrie, which is a word related to charisma. It sounds like it, doesn't it? Kyrie, charisma, you see it up there? Kyrie, it means rejoice or greetings. In the NIV Bible that I read for you, it's rejoice. And that's fine. It's a normal greeting like hello or hi. And so the NIV translates a greeting. But a better word here is the word rejoice. Because Luke is emphasizing something here. He wants us to realize that Mary is getting this undeserved gift of grace from God. And what happens when you get a gift that you weren't expecting, that you don't deserve? You rejoice, okay? So Luke is giving us a hint right now. A great gift is coming, okay? Second, the angel calls Mary charitousetai, which is a really, really rare Greek word. So rare, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it correctly. But it's a really rare word related to charisma, and it means favored one or privileged or to be furnished with grace. Luke uses this word because he wants us to know that Mary didn't do anything to earn this really incredible gift. It's not that she was the best kid on her block. She didn't earn this. This is a complete undeserved gift from God. Third, and finally, the angel Gabriel tells Mary that she has found charin. Another word related to charisma that means grace. Whenever a word is repeated in the Bible three times or more times right in a row like this, they're trying to get you to pay attention, okay? And because it's in the Greek, but not in the English, you don't see it really well. But Luke is trying to grab your attention by saying, gift of grace, gift of grace, gift of grace, three times in a row in the passage that we just read, okay? Greatest gift the world has ever known. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is coming to Mary, coming to you, coming to me. What an amazing gift of grace. That's what Luke is trying to grab you and have you hear in today's scripture. There's another word that's repeated three times in today's scripture, and that's the word virgin. Luke wants us to pay special attention to the miracle of Christ's birth. Joseph and Mary were betrothed, which means that they were legally married, but they weren't living together as husband and wife. They didn't know the intimacies of marriage yet. But what it means, though, is because they were legally joined, that if Mary showed up with a baby unexpectedly, people would think that she had committed adultery, not just premarital sex, okay? Mary is 13 years old, which means that she's innocent, but she's not clueless. She knows where babies come from, and she knows what happens to a girl who's engaged to be married, who's betrothed, and she has a baby outside of that relationship. She knows what will happen to her. She gets what will happen. For those of you who don't know, you could turn to Deuteronomy 22:23. The law of Moses says, if a man happens to meet in a town a virgin pledged to be married, and he sleeps with her, you shall take both of them to the gate of that town and stone them to death. This is what Moses said is supposed to happen to a girl like Mary who ends up pregnant outside of the relationship of marriage. This is why in the Gospel of Matthew, Luke wants to divorce Mary quietly. He's a compassionate guy. He just wants to do it quietly so that this girl, this 13-year-old child, will not be killed. He doesn't want the shame associated with this unexpected baby, but he doesn't want her dead either. He's a compassionate guy. He just wants to get rid of her. Of course, the angel Gabriel shows up there and redeems their relationship. Now, in that society, it is possible that a woman like Mary could plead innocence. She could say, whoa, 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 but I didn't actually have an affair with another guy. And if that happened, she would be subjected to something called the trial of bitter waters. And here's what would happen to a girl like Mary in that situation. She would be taken to the town gate. She would have been tied to the town gate. Her hair would have been uncovered like the prostitutes, because in those days women wore their hair up. She would have her clothes torn to expose her chest. And all the women in town would be encouraged to parade past her, to stare, to point, so that they would know this is what happens to a woman who is caught in adultery. After that, she would be forced to drink some poisonous waters. If she lived, she would be declared innocent, but she could never recover her honor. She would always be filled with the shame of what happened to her during the trial of the bitter waters. 30 years after the birth of Jesus, we still see the shame that was heaped upon Mary and heaped upon Jesus in the story of the gospel. Jesus goes to his hometown. He goes to Nazareth in Galilee. And what do they call Jesus? Does anyone remember what they called Jesus in his hometown? They call him Son of Mary. You don't call a man in that society by the mother's name. This is not saying, well, Joseph is dead, this is Mary's boy. No, 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 no. They're calling him names. They're taunting him. They're looking back 30 years earlier to this surprise pregnancy that wasn't supposed to happen. And so Jesus, he goes, he wants to preach in his hometown, but he says, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown. Why? They're making fun of him. They're taunting him. This shame that Mary experienced carried on the entirety of her life. No one took Jesus seriously in Nazareth because of the old rumors surrounding his mom, Mary. Now, God's grace is completely free, but it doesn't come cheap. And that's what the story of Mary teaches us. I am the Lord's servant, Mary told the angel. May your word to me be fulfilled. Mary had to risk her honor. She had to risk her marriage. She had to risk her life in order to get this incredible gift of the grace of God. Yes, it was worth it. There's no way Mary could have ever earned a gift like this on her own. But to get the gift, to unwrap the gift, it demanded Mary's entire life. This is the cost of discipleship. The best gifts are so valuable that we can never afford them, and they are so precious that they change who we are. When I was a boy, my favorite all-time Christmas gift was waking up one morning and discovering next to the Christmas tree a black, shiny bicycle. Black and shiny as Darth Vader's helmet. I was in love with it instantly. I loved that bike, but it changed who I was. It taught me the freedom to ride far from home. It taught me the responsibility of being home on time for dinner. It turned my toothpick legs into muscly little things. And I learned something important from that bike, that the best gifts in life sometimes hurt. I still have scars on my body from wiping out on that bike. I would have no fond memories of that bicycle today if it stayed in the garage and gathered dust. I had to use it. I had to get beat up a little bit by it. The best gift changed who I was. And it nicked me up a little bit. Faith in God is not so different from riding a bicycle. If you want to feel the joy, rejoice. If you want to feel the joy of undeserved grace, you've got to put your faith to work in the world. If you want to be transformed by the good news, if you want your nicks and your bruises to be redeemed by God's love, you need to hop aboard faith and actually go for a ride. It's going to take you somewhere. It's not going to leave you where it found you. God's grace does not leave you where it found you, right? God's grace takes you and moves you to where you need to be. You can't earn this gift by doing the right things, but you honor God when you put your faith to work in the world. Reverend DePayne Middleton Doctor had that kind of deep faith in God. You may not know her name, but I think you know her story, right? Reverend DePayne Middleton Doctor was one of the 9 African-American churchgoers who were assassinated at Mother Emanuel AMC Church in Charleston, South Carolina, a year ago. Dylan Roof was convicted this week of murdering Reverend DePayne Middleton Doctor and 8 other Bible-believing, Bible-studying Christians who were only guilty of one thing, and that was inviting the stranger into their church and letting him sit down with them to study the Bible together. Reverend DePayne Middleton Doctor left behind 4 young children. Her sister Bethany, I like that name, by the way. Her sister Bethany. It's not spelled with a Y, it's spelled with an E. Bethany. Her sister Bethany is still trying to pick up the pieces, raising DePayne's 4 children plus her 3 children. Again, I'm not great with math, but I think that's 7. It's a lot of kids. Bethany gives a great definition of grace by faith by saying that her sister, the Right Reverend, always expected a lot of God, and she gave a lot. You hear that? That's grace by faith. She expected a lot from God, and she gave a lot back to God. She didn't have any money. What did she give? She gave her faith, and she gave her devotion to God. Now, the weight of grief is still so heavy that Bethany fears it will never leave her. In the meantime, she is really trying hard to live out the faith that her sister, the Reverend, taught her. Every day, Bethany hides from her 7 kids and locks herself in the bathroom. This is what you have to do devotions when you have 7 kids, I guess. She hides herself in the bathroom. She locks the door. She reads the Bible on her smartphone, and she prays to God, because this is what her sister taught her to do, right? Bethany says, I feel like God is speaking to me in that time. This God that meets us in the manger, meets us in the restroom. I feel like God speaks to me that during that time. And in spite of the terrible tragedy, in spite of the weight of carrying the gift, right? The gift of those 7 children, she says, God is taking me to a higher level, right? God redeems the toughest circumstances in your life to take you to a higher level. An old man named Simeon warned Mary when she took the Christ child to the temple that this baby boy was going to pierce her soul like a sword. And sure enough, Mary had to watch her perfect Christmas gift, her miracle baby, her beloved Jesus die on the cross to save the world from sin and death. Jesus warned everybody that followed in his footsteps, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Jesus is the Christmas gift that demands your entire life. Jesus does not want to be a Christmas ornament that you pull out once a year to look at. Jesus does not want to be your Christmas CD that you listen to once or twice a year. Jesus does not want to be abandoned at Christmas time like your old, brown, dying or dead Christmas tree. Jesus wants to be the reason for every season in your life. This year, embrace the grace. Let this gift have your entire life. Pick up your cross and follow in Jesus' footsteps, and Christ the Lord will lead you to his heavenly peace, and he will help you understand the true meaning of God's gift to humanity. Amen.